Today's theme is about freedom. The group that listened to Jesus said, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Freedom is quite a theme right now, isn't it? People want to be free to marry whom they choose, or to not get married if they choose, and live together if they choose. People are free to text and drive, right? To talk on the cell phone and not worry about cars around them, other people, or anything else. People want their freedom. They want freedom to carry firearms anywhere they like. They want freedom. They want freedom to talk and use vocabulary no matter what the words are or what they mean. They want their freedom. They want their freedom to believe what they want to believe and to reject what they don't like. That too is desired today. If you think about it very carefully and you look back in history, humanity really hasn't changed. In the days of Martin Luther, people wanted to be free. There's a movie about Michelangelo trying to paint the Sistine Chapel and, you know, the freedom of his artistic expression. If you've ever looked the dates up, did you ever realize that Martin Luther and Michelangelo were alive at the same time? During the years of Martin Luther, the Aztecs grew to be a mighty community. During Martin Luther's lifetime, it is historically recorded that the first battle that was ever won by gunpowder, firearms, and cannons took place during his lifetime. People were fighting for independence and freedom. People were fighting for nations and land and power. And people were fighting for their ideas, their intellectual philosophy, and the freedom to hold on to those things, even in the face of truth. Humanity really hasn't changed. But let's go back further. The people of Israel, they declared their freedom. They declared that it was okay to be idolatrous, non-worshipping, disobedient to God because they were labeled God's people. They were free by ancestry, genetics, and culture, and religious communities. In Jesus' own day, he is approached by people who are enslaved and yet they think they're free. And what we tend to think as humans is that if I have this, then I'm free. And if I don't have whatever it is, then I'm suffering. You know? And sometimes that involves technology or the biggest TV on the market. You know? If I don't have that, I'm enslaved to 60 inches. You know? I'm suffering. If I don't have the latest, greatest, the newest car, I'm enslaved to the economy. And if I don't get my candidate elected, I'm enslaved to the politics of the day. One reason you come to church every Sunday, if you think about it, is to be freed. To the greatest bondage, to the worst taskmaster, to the biggest monster there ever is, and it's our sinful nature. Every time you come into God's house, every time you bow before the Lord in a spiritual sense, at home, wherever you are in the Word, There is this proclamation of the mighty gospel, the good news of salvation, that through Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and you are free. But sometimes what we tend to do is we look for freedom in the manner if we get off easy. Have you ever thought that about yourself or anyone else that got into trouble and you said, boy, they got off easy? I used to think that about my siblings. You know, the discipline that mom and dad dealt with me, and I understand why now as an adult, you know, was never equal to the discipline my brothers and sisters got. You know, I think they got off easy. But I think what happens for us as believers in Christ is we recognize that our freedom came at a cost, and it was not easy. In the Old Testament, it talks about how there is only forgiveness with the shedding of blood. And so in the Old Testament, they sacrificed the ram, the goat, the lamb. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You and I have not gotten off easy. You and I have not been set free cheaply, because our sin was paid for. That which enslaved us, that which we battle against, or like Paul says, that which I don't want to do, I do, and that which I do want to do, I don't do. You know, what a wretched man that I am. What brings us freedom is Christ. The Jews in this conversation with Jesus, they're proclaiming freedom by entitlement. Freedom by power and authority and nationalism. Jesus says that's not really what freedom is. Freedom is not based on your economics. Freedom is not based on your job position, your income, your title, your rank, your privileges. But freedom is based on what God declares you to be. And it contrasts the slave and the son. Sometimes I think when I was mowing the lawn as a kid, I was slave labor. Have you ever felt like that? You know, if you had chores around the house, you know, you'd say to your parents, "Mom, Dad, the only reason you had children was to have slaves," you know. We were stupid as young people. But you understand? We really don't, in our culture, in this country, we do not understand slavery. Because we haven't experienced like they did in South Africa. We haven't experienced it like they have in other nations and still have it today. You and I haven't worked in the sweatshops in China and other places. We have more freedom that we don't even realize we have because we've never had it taken away. But that creates a problem because we declare our freedom from God because we have the freedoms we have. And so in this gospel reading, it contrasts the son and the slave, and it talks about how, you know, if you were a slave in the days of Jesus Christ, and even before he walked on this earth, your position was iffy. You know what that means? You could get a pink slip. You could no longer get shelter. You would no longer get food, whatever that was. You would no longer have a role or a position. If you got too weak, you were cast out. You could be sold to somebody worse than who you had you. Your job, your position, your life was iffy. Your life expectancy wasn't that good. What Jesus is saying is that when we are in bondage to sin, we have a different master. And that master will always ultimately call for our death. We die because of our sinful nature. If we didn't have that, we would live. The wages of sin is death. It's as simple as that. And there's no buying out of it. There's no relics that can surpass it. There's nothing else except Christ. So that through Christ, the proclamation of the gospel that Luther wanted the church to proclaim again was, even though you die, yet you shall live, not because of the works you did, the money you gave, the title you hold, the relics, the idols, all of the other superstitious things, but because of Jesus, His blood, and His righteousness. There is a need for a continuing reformation. There was a need for reformation in the days of Jesus because the people thought they were free, and they weren't. There was a need for reformation in the days of Martin Luther. People thought they were free to think what they wanted to think, and the Bible says you're not. And there's a need for a reformation today. But it doesn't begin outside the congregation. It begins in here. It's with us. It's how God calls us into this new life and empowers us into this hope and gives us obedience unto Him, not that it merits or earns anything, but it is the result of being freed by Christ, Christ crucified, Christ alive. You serve because you are freed to serve. You love because you are freed to love. You care and have compassion, not simply because you got a big heart, but because Christ is in you. And the sinful nature that is selfish, self-centered, egotistical, and everything else, that is overcome. And it's daily. Luther talked about daily in our remembering our baptism that our old Adam was drowned, you know. And daily arise the new child of God. You see, we have trouble with this word freedom because in our culture today, in our politics today, in our government today, in our struggles of today, we use it in ways that Christ didn't mean. But what's worse than that is we don't use it the way Christ meant it to be. You are alive in Christ, not because you're American, not because you're in Middle Tennessee, not because you're a Southerner, or not because you're a Yankee who moves south to get out of the winter. You are free because of what Christ has done for you. And in that freedom, it is everlasting life. Amen.